So I want to go ahead and get started. We got a lot of stuff I want to cover today. My name is Ernie Verbacher. I'm the Product Line Manager for Development Platforms at Apple. I'm a member of the Mac OS X Product Marketing Group. Product marketing, our job is to make sure we're building the right products for our customers and make sure that they know it. And we work closely with engineering teams to make sure that they know what needs to be done and help them get on board with all the cool things that they're doing. My role is I'm in charge of the developer technologies, which includes our Java runtime, our application server, and our developer tools, and especially open source Unix technology, which is passed the idea here today. What I want to cover today is just helping you understand what you can do in terms of scripting technology on Mac OS X. And I'll say up front that I'm not an expert on any of these technologies. There's a wide range of technologies covering both the Unix and the Macintosh side of the world. And there are very few people who actually are familiar with both, so I'm sort of the person trying to bridge the gap. And maybe some of you in the audience actually know this technology better than I do, and if I overlook something, feel free to raise your hand and correct me. But we're trying to do some exciting things here, and we hope that you can be a part of that process and the grand experiment we're engaged in. I just want to talk to you a little bit about kind of the context for Mac OS X. Some of the ones we'll be talking about, they cover both Unix and Apple scripted technologies. So, we're going to be focusing on Jaguar. Jaguar is a new version of Mac OS X, which will be released on August 24th. We had an NDA discussion of it with our developers back in May at our Worldwide Developers Conference, and we just had a public announcement of it last week in New York at Macworld. And Jaguar is really designed to be a major step forward in the evolution of Mac OS X. And some of you may have seen this at the topic of your program if you haven't even looked that far. But the real goal of Mac OS X is trying to be a great Unix system. The first few releases of Mac OS X were primarily focused on consumers, making sure that we did everything the traditional Mac OS did. And in order to accomplish that, we pretty much frozen the Unix technology back in 1999, even spent 2008, 2001, really focusing on the Mac community. Now that we've got that under our belt, we're really trying to go back, talk to Unix customers, talk to Mac customers as we do our Unix hardware rollout. And so one of the goals for Jaguar is to be a really great Unix system, modernizing all the layers in the system, from previously 4.4 for the kernel to GCC 3.1 for our compiler, and also doing some great work on the scripting side. Those of you who may not be that familiar with Mac OS X, Mac OS X has a layered architecture, where the Unix-based foundation, which may be the vast majority of what you consider Ubuntu or FreeBSD or even Solaris, is just a small part of the operating system. We provide a diversity of graphics technologies and frameworks functionality that really doesn't have a real level. And we're going to try to make that accessible to not just traditional Mac users, but also the Unix users. The lowest levels of Unix of Mac OS X are called Darwin. Darwin is an open source project underlying Mac OS X, provides all the Unix functionality that both Unix users as want to interact with directly, as well as the primitive multitasking and integrity that are important for traditional Mac users. And Darwin, of course, is a fully open source operating system released under the Apple open source license, and it is all approved open source license. The source code Darwin is posted live on the internet for most components. There's also a sister project called UDarwin, which has full public access, so you can get an account and hack on it. The source code that we post in Darwin is actually the live source code we use to open this every week, as you don't want to have we're very excited about the work of our way, and we're excited about all the grants that we're getting in this layer. We'll kind of have ways to bring that technology up to the standards of the rest of us. So, in order to get started with scripting, there's a couple of different technologies you'll want to enable. The main thing is that most of the scripting languages and a lot of the Unix user environments is part of the BSD subsystem. You install Mac OS X, there's actually two CDs, or actually three in Jaguar because you're getting started. The first CD or the user CD, which is the user system, it also provides a complete set of the developer tools available on Mac OS X. And so when they buy the retail shrink wrap software product or in the application installers directory if you buy new hardware from Apple. And so the BSD subsystem is checked by default, so if you just do a standard easy install, it will install the full user environment. But if you're doing custom installs, want to make sure that the BSD subsystem PowerPoint. And then the BSD SDK. So you'll see there's a bunch of different technologies available with the whole suite of tools, both the command line tools, GCC, and so forth, as well as our visual development tools. The MacOS 10 SDK provides all the headers to go with the frameworks in MacOS 10, development application and examples. Most stripping that you can do on the base system, Perl, et cetera. Perl bundle is part of the base system. Or if you want to add some developer features, some additional documentation, you'll want to access the developer CD and the MacOS 10 SDK. The Disney SDK is a new feature we're adding in Jaguar. There's a number of services in MacOS 10 that use open source libraries like OpenSSL or LibTickle. And initially we didn't want to expose those APIs because open software is one of the different tastes in your software. We can't guarantee the next version of OpenSSL will be 100% backwards compatible with the current version of OpenSSL. And we do guarantee that for the official support APIs in MacOS 10. But we don't want to put that in. What we decided to do is to go ahead and ship that software for use by open source developers. We just make a deliberate decision that yes, I realize this is open source software. Yes, I'm willing to deal with the binary compatibility issues myself. And then you check the BSD SDK box, and they'll drop the headers for Tickle and OpenSSL and other APIs that we don't recommend you use for new development. We don't recommend our traditional commercial developers use. Those for open source developers will want it convenient for you to open source it. If you're doing things with encryption on macOS 10, you prefer to use things like the CDSA security toolkit, which is much more advanced, which is also open source and an old standard in macOS 10. So we try to make a good balance and make it accessible for open source developers, still preserving some of the guarantees that we provide with our commercial software. So I encourage you to go ahead and install the developer tools just so you have access to that. Another tool that you'll find very useful is Think. Think is a package management tool based on the Debian package management technology, one of the Linux distributions. It is designed to basically handle the issue of porting software and creating binary packages from those ports, which are then installed on your system. And it tracks all the dependencies. So say that you want Git on macOS 10. You would tell Think this is a GUI called Think Commander that's only created for Think. Probably looks better than it does on Debian. And when you select Git, and then it'll go through and say, okay, if you want Git, you need GTK, you need X11. It'll figure out all the dependencies and install everything for you. Very powerful tool available as a download from the macOS 10 download site, welcome.sourceforge.net. So if you're trying to access some other toolkits or libraries that may not be readily accessible on macOS 10, then Think is a really good tool. The other thing that's worth knowing, as most of you probably know, macOS 10 uses a technology called ports for its windowing system. It provides very rich anti-aliasing, incredible plot support, and best of all, it's fully compatible with PDF. So every application on macOS 10, even Microsoft Word, can view and write PDF documents. Obviously, for a lot of you software, they rely on the X11 windowing system. So there's three different places you can get a version of X11. The X-Ray 6 project, released out of those, you can get it from X.X, the X.X project for X11 on macOS 10 on SourceForge. And if you're using one of the toolkits that aren't available on macOS 10, most of them just compile and run on X11. There's also commercial implementations, X-Tools from Tenet, and Exodus from Powerland USA.
Do you
have a plan with the OpenGL hardware? Yes, I believe both the commercial packages offer OpenGL hardware acceleration, and that's certainly both with X86 will have hardware acceleration on macOS 10. So, starting out by talking about Unix scripting, I'm going to give you a quick survey of some of the different scripting technologies available on macOS 10. Obviously, there's the standard Unix shells. BinSH, the default was ZSH on the first version of macOS. We made a decision to move that to Bash, Bash 2.0.5. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of people very happy about that. It gives us new performance compatibility enhancement. However, there is a few minor little binary compatibilities between ZSH and Bash. So you may occasionally run into an installer, which relies on some of those supports that will not install properly. You can just relink it to solve that problem. TCSH is our CSH, which is our default user shell. You can obviously change it, but the default is for the CSH. We also did a fairly extensive job of my C environment, giving you a nice prom, some good default aliases. You can see all those in the standard, the standard system-wide slash et cetera, sh.sar files, which allow you to customize those behaviors. They actually call down to a file in user share and then TCSH. So if you want to customize the behavior of your system on a system-wide basis for the default shell, you can hack that file. Obviously, it's likely to go away in a software upgrade. Moving on to the modern scripting languages, Mac OS X version 10.2 Jaguar actually ships with 5 different languages as part of the base system. 3 of them, PHP, Perl, and TCL, were available in the current version of Mac OS X, and we added Python and Ruby for this release. Just to kind of quickly review the different technologies, some of the categories of it. We currently ship 84.1.2, which is funny because it's not affected by the mobile that was discovered last week. One advantage to saying it's like Mac OS X, which tends to be slightly behind the latest current version. It's because we want to make time before we cross something to where it's just a little difficult to, for us to try to go through. Having a relatively modern implementation of these things wherever possible, we're working on some better packaging technology for the future that may enable us to deliver updates to that in a more seamless fashion. A couple of quirks to note is that we saw some libraries in a different place. So usually PHP includes the global extensions folders, but system library PHP is where the actual PHP modules are located. So you need to be aware of that. And we do provide the files for PHP support are commented out of the default Apache implementation. So if you want to enable PHP on your desktop system, you need to uncomment those files as well as enabling HTTP. Enabling Apache through personal web sharing. Similarly, Perl 5.6 of the current version we're shipping on Mac OS X. Again, we try and delay a little bit in order to make sure we have a stable version we can trust. We do include CPAN, so if you're feeling ambitious, you can just use CPAN to update your entire Perl implementation. In fact, it'll do it more or less at the drop of a hat if you're not careful.
It'll work on just build 5.8.
Oh, thank you.
And except for some problems with ProTDD libraries.
Excellent. Are you going to hear that? Are you going to post that binary somewhere? Or?
I built open source.
Okay. That works. The way we work is that the system, a number of modules are shipped in system library Perl, and that if you want to add additional modules, we encourage you to put them in library Perl, which is a user accessible folder to administrative privileges. And again, also there's libperl included as part of the Apache distribution if you want to enable it there. We're trying to probably move away from this. We used to try and make these things accessible in standard, more Mac-like places like system library and library. Moving forward, as you'll see, we'll just try and stick to the default Unix installation and trust that our use, that the customers who need to know it will be able to deal with things with command line. Tickle 8.3 is shipped as part of the system. If you install the BSD SDK, you get the full Tickle libraries and all the Tickle header files and the gazillion Tickle underscore star man pages associated with that. Probably a lot of our 1,000 man pages are just Tickle. Again, we ship the Tickle scripts and encodings under system library Tickle. So be sure to, in general, look at the standard use place and then look at system library / library as well, if you're trying to find something on the Mac.
Is this Tickle as opposed to TK?
Yeah, this is Tickle. We'll get to TK in a second. So we worked with the open source community to create a version of TK that was ported to Aqua. The default TK implementation was written for X11. We worked to get it ported to run on top of Aqua, or, of course, depending on how you want to look at it. We donated that code back upstream to the Tickle SourceForge project. So it's available there. You can download it directly from there. We'll bring up a wish shell, which you can access through a little console, or you can actually type it from the terminal using the wish shell under applications wish shell app, Confidence Mac OS. And it provides two frameworks, Tickle framework and a TK framework associated with that. There is work ongoing to get that integrated back into the mainstream of the Tickle TK sources. I'm not aware of the current status of that. The goal is to get that integrated back into the mainstream TK, where it can be leveraged by Perl and Python and other TK users. If that's something you would like to help with and you're interested in, let me know. I can try and grab the right people for you to partner with. It's not something that's actually being developed by Apple anymore. We've given that back to the open source community since they have more interest in that than they do with the company. So there are occasionally engineers who hack on it in their spare time for the project. Python 2.2, which is just a part of Mac OS X for the first time. So it's got the standard script there, user lives there, and the include files from the BSD SDK. There's a number of utilities and that's going to make use of Python as well. There's an ongoing effort for WX Python. There are a number of Python users who are working on it. It's not available, but it's available. People are doing Python work. Are people familiar with the WX toolkit? So, okay, so you're familiar with that. There's a little bit of complication that we provide the Python at a continuous installation. The Mako Python effort creates a framework out of it you're able to use to include an application, in particular the Python Mac toolkits, the framework. And then the Python Mako is useful to have multiple instances of the Python application running at the same time, as opposed to some single level applications. And then there's also a Python card. Consumers of WX Python on Mac. So there's a pretty significant growing community of Python users on the Mac. A couple of different groups which are still sort of trying to converge together and move forward. But I encourage you to check that out and, of course, participate. And last but certainly not least, Ruby, an up-and-coming language that we're trying to be aggressive in supporting. We're using 1.6.7. A little trick that I use to figure out what all Ruby files we have here. As you know, the finger on Mac OS X hides all the Unix files. So if you want to look at something in user, you go to the terminal. If you go to the terminal and you go to like cd/user, and you type open space dot, it'll open the current directory in the finder. So in this case, it actually brought up the /user folder or directory inside the finder. And with Jaguar's new search function, you can say, okay, I just want to search everything under /user for the word root. And so you can actually go ahead and jump in to the Unix command environment or the Unix directories and just so inclined. And of course you can drag and drop files from the Finder and paths from the Finder into the terminal window, which is very useful to look around. So that's kind of a quick review of the Unix scripting language support on Mac OS X. Now I want to shift gears and talk about AppleScript, which brings a whole new set of capabilities into the ballgame with scripting on Mac OS X. So what is AppleScript? AppleScript was designed for use by non-programmers. Programming languages were designed for supporting good programming practices as defined by lower dimensional languages. They use a lot of funny syntax for brevity and compactness. They derive more from mathematical formalism than from English-like languages. AppleScript, as you'll see, is really designed to feel like English language. It's very verbose. It's not a highly structured way that programmers think of code being structured. But it's extremely powerful. It's a type of version of Mac OS applications. It really designed it for an automation tool that brought up a hyperconnect TypeScript with that. And pretty much every major application on the Macintosh supports scripting via AppleScript. It's a very powerful tool. It also is really designed for use with workflows, numerous social data, web service. You can also integrate with Unix scripts by invoking scripts, Unix scripts within AppleScript. And the real idea of AppleScript, it does for the GUI, with the Unix shell for command line utilities. For those of you who remember or have studied the history of Unix, before Unix was there, there were all these little, JCLs and things, so they had little utilities, but there's no concept of a pipeline. Right? Unix created this idea of multiple utilities together into a pipeline and then automate them by using scripting language. And so AppleScript does the same thing for command for a GUI application. Typically you have a bunch of GUI applications scattered around your system. AppleScript lets you manipulate large data types like pictures and easily move them back and forth between FileMaker and Photoshop and web publishing solutions to create a very sophisticated workflow. Chances are a piece of your daily newspaper, whether maps or the TV listing created using AppleScript. And the other thing about AppleScript that's very unique is a very sophisticated query language. It's called every which, finding every record whose begins with F. Things like that. It's almost like SQL as a query language. In some ways, actually, AppleScript looks more like SQL with this English-like syntax and sophisticated queries than it resembles, say, a Tickle or a Perl. Here's a really quick example of AppleScript language. It's a little hard to see this from the screen here, but you really are writing sentences. Tell the window of the object, right? Not rather than call the object on window. It's, tell the window of the object to set the rate of contents of text field rate as a real. And it set the dollars to contents of text field dollars. And it really reads just like you're reading English language. So it's really frustrating if you're used to programming in C because it's so verbose. But it's actually very easy for non-programmers to pick up. And it's also pretty trivial to guess how you would phrase something in AppleScript by just speaking out in a sentence. And you have an end tell clause at the end. And so this is the way it's basically telling an object to do something, is how AppleScript forms behaviors. The AppleScript itself is part of something called the open scripting architecture. When Apple decided to add script to its operating system, it didn't want to lock it in language. So it decided that the architecture to support scripting, rather than linking in a static library with every application, or the dynamic library, which creates something called the open scripting architecture based on inter-process communication, called Apple events. And so Apple events allows every script to send a message to any application. And these can be normal Apple events locally, or they can be self-messages sent remotely in both directions. And then every application has a dictionary. The dictionary defines the events that are used by AppleScript. And this is a really important distinction. If you've done application design, you probably realize that the user model, what a user sees in the user interface, is different than the programmer model, right? And with bad applications, the model looks just like a programmer model, and it's really awkward to use. I won't mention operating systems that exemplify that trait. But you want to make it so that the user sees what they need to do in terms of their mental concepts and the tasks they want to accomplish. In the same way, AppleScript is designed to work with Apple events, the important dictionary that may map very naturally on the programming model against the object model. But even if you don't, you can still create a very nicely well-defined dictionary that is then invoked by the AppleScripts or any other OSA language that can then call the same, generate those same Apple events. Now you can have multiple OSA languages. AppleScript is the one we provide. Dave Weiner, Frontier, has one or two that he's written that use OSA. There is some work that's been going on to try and add OSA support for Perl and other languages. If that's something people are interested in, talk to me. I can make sure you have access to the right tools to work on that. And you can even actually call AppleScript and other OSA scripts from the command line. You can have OSA script and then just type in a few lines of AppleScript and control D. You can then use that to invoke another application. You can use that within your shell scripts or Perl scripts, using an OSA script command, and then various help clauses for AppleScript within it. You can also create double-clickable AppleScripts as Unix shell scripts, if you're feeling particularly perverse. Then, the way AppleScript works is that there's the mock messaging primitives that are the basic process communication of Mac OS X at the Darwin layer. And that's both on the technology of Apple events, which exists as a core services layer, in the same layer where Quartz and Core Foundation live. And then you have two implementations of AppleScript. There's the AppleScript 9 implementation, which was used in classic Mac OS, an updated version of AppleScript that is then used in the CocoaPRO Carbon environments, and then a new technology called AppleScript Studio, which sits on top of Cocoa. A few things worth mentioning about OSA scripting in Jaguar is that people doing AppleScript. We have a new Apple Event Manager designed to work with web services, take advantage of other important technologies. There's a lot more scriptable applications. Pretty much all the major applications in Mac OS X are scriptable, from Mail to the Finder, which is very powerful automation. And again, also from Unix using the OSA script paradigm, even if it's on OSA language. And there's actually two kinds of AppleScript. One is binary compatible or script compatible with the classic Mac OS. So there's a new technology we're calling Apple 10, which is really designed to take advantage of the Unix, mock, and XML behaviors of Mac OS X. So, for example, dictionary files are expressed as an XML-based SNF file rather than this obscure AppleScript format. And also a new version of Apple Studio 1.2 now, updated version was released initially last December. So what is AppleScript Studio? AppleScript Studio takes the AppleScript language, as you see, and combines with Project Builder and Interface Builder, Mac OS X's pro quality developer tools, and the Cocoa application framework, the working technology that was used in NextStep and is now the career development environment for Mac OS X. And this creates both a development tool for building native Mac applications using a scripting language, as well as a runtime system for one student applications. Just kind of go over the pieces of it, there's something called the AppleScript Kit, and what we're going to call the AppleScript Kit plugins. The AppleScript is a runtime piece that's installed as a software update on 10.1 or built into Mac OS X 10.2, and that handles essentially this bridging framework to interpret Apple events and invoke behaviors on Cocoa applications. And then there's various technologies that are part of Apple that are under development. There's a plugin for AppleScript, the language. There's a dictionary plugin and a debugger plugin, so you can view AppleScript dictionaries and actually debug AppleScript from what Apple, which we'll do if we have time. The calendar interface, so you can do GUI layout of AppleScript Studio. So the key thing about AppleScript Studio, which is a big deal for AppleScript users, is you create native macOS and have a kind of, you just write from a line of C or Java or compile like this code. You just write it out, and then it takes advantage of a GUI in Cocoa, and can then be used to control other applications, either locally or over a network. And you can even take advantage of web services such as some on the demo command to show how that works. The other thing about that is you can do the do shell script command inside of Output Studio to import Unix functionality in application. It's really nice for string handling. I work with data types. There's some implemented pictures and applications, but it doesn't text very well. Unix scripting languages, on the other hand, just love dealing with text. So actually fairly common for Apple script readings to actually thump down to the shell or Unix command line utility or a curl function, do some string mailing, and then hook back up in Apple script for doing the GUI pieces. The other great one, Apple Script Studio, it includes a bridging technology that allows Apple script to call into the native framework or library C++ or Java. So if you have some existing code that you want to write a quick wrapper around in a library or another application, you can do that using Apple Studio, and then you can call into that using the call method command from Apple Script. Let me just run into a quick demo here, see if I can get some cooperate with me. We'll bring a project builder, and this is the current convergence example just with macOS 10 version 10.2. And actually, I'm going to show you an interface file. This interface is a very powerful GUI layout tool developed by Next, now includes both a useful social project and JavaScript application. Like I said, GUI builder, you can direct to your Windows LP. But these are not just three pictures, these are live objects. In particular, you can find attributes on them, which are then stored in a properly list file on the system. So our objects you want to use within AppleScript Studio, those of you using Explorer know that you use drag and drop connections from buttons to objects in your system of various kinds. But with Apple Studio, instead of doing a drag and drop connection to a live object, you actually connect to trip. So you see a verb button, this will say a current verb application. It says, okay, if this action is clicked, or when the native awaits, call the currency converter ASCript. And we'll see what ASCript is in a second. And each of these different things has a name, so you can refer to them from within the ASCript application. And again, here we change country and tell it to perform a particular action. So look at ASCript. We see here our currency converter AppleScript. And we'll see when we away from the nav, so first an object gets when it wakes up, when the nav is carbonation, or when you change the pop-up list, so set the contents of text field rate on the window of the object to this function get rate. And we'll just see what that is. And then we'll actually click on the convert button. It says tell the window to rate, set these two variables, those text fields, and then set the content rate off. And then there's the thing called get. So let's get this location part of what you set the default value for the variable, you set the names of the two key variables, to country and from country, just a little text conversion there. And then tell the application, this is a standard AppleScript idiom, but rather than giving it the name of an application, you give it the URL and point of a web service. And then you set this value to equal a SOAP invocation rather than and to say call SOAP, and you just give it an AppleScript property list. AppleScript uses named arguments rather than positional arguments, which it can use both. And your method name is get rate, the information straight on the WPL file. This namespace URI is XMS exchange, and then the parameters are two countries. And then there's no SOAP access paper. So very simple, basic SOAP invocation done in one line with AppleScript, and that allows you to bring that information and that result directly in to a variable which is included in the application. So let's try and see how it works. So it goes and builds the application, watch it. And here it is. And you see that when it woke up, it grabbed the current conversion rate. And this is all live, pulling it directly from the internet. I get a little dialog box, but wasn't connected to the internet. I see the exchange and then say, I don't need to know what I converted. And I know exactly what is being done and how much money I put on my expense report. So, real simple little currency converter. And to show you a little bit more what we can do, instead of running it directly, we'll run it inside the debugger. This time, the variables is actually quite slow. These are the only running case. So, set the rate variable and then set the dollars variable to the value of the text field and then put it in resolve. Outfront Studio, again, basically 15 lines of code, giving you a nice rich to application, integrating web services, you don't have to write any compiled code, and you can go. That's Outfront Studio. Yes.
And all the demo points we made earlier in the talk, it's kind of like you suggested that we're going to do
right, so, I just had that question. So other scripts,
Will Becker. This is kind of all the interface part of code. If you have a small screen, you have a way to slow the maps on the site.
The way to what? Sorry? Yeah, the project builder is a multi-window user interface. You can change its, so the tab scroll.
Right. Now we have the
not tab pieces, and the other pieces are pre-code. Yeah, there's a question. So script bridges. So there's three pieces to being Outfront Studio. One is the ability to generate Apple events. And that's hard. That's required in the OSA compliant scripting language. And that takes a fair amount of work because the semantic concept of it doesn't exist in other languages. It's fair, it's like API for defining it. People have done over time on Mac OS, or we're trying to do that on Mac OS 10, with their favorite choice of programming languages. That's good capsules with that, and they also came out that actually, for Perl 6. The entire Perl 6 development team is running on iLoad, so they have the same mistake, and all this stuff worked well. The second piece was having the ability to call into native functions. And that is provided by the functionality of these different script bridges. The third piece is then having plugins for Project Builder that can support those languages and use the next calling and so forth. And that's fairly straightforward to do. ELF is a public API for that. If someone wants to work on that, you know, that we can get you done for engineers. And for script bridges, there's three different bridges to talk about. The one we ship as part of Jaguar, just called Perl.c Bridge, which is the library Perl Darwin. It's just kind of a Perl module, but it allows you basically just to use foundation and then call functions in the low levels of Cocoa. However, the object model, the event model doesn't really play nicely with the full Cocoa frameworks. So it has limited usefulness for that. It's useful for utility functions, being able to parse bundles and things like that from Mac OS X, which is important to the person who wrote it in the first place. A more ambitious project, also somewhat immature this way, from the last I checked, is CamelBones, which is a full-fledged Perl Objective-C bridge available in CamelBones.sourceforge.net. And that has a goal of really trying to make Cocoa fully accessible from Perl. So it doesn't support a single function of Outfront Studio, but it will allow you to use the Cocoa widget set as a GUI framework from within Perl. And they have a lot of information on the CamelBones site, several frameworks, cross-border plugin support for Perl and documentation. So I encourage you, if you're interested in Perl, using Perl with Mac OS X for GUI applications, to check out CamelBones, work with them. If it takes off all the data that's preceding the Perl Object Bridge, that in the future. And another addition comes from the PyOps-C project, which is a Python Objective-C bridge. I mean, there is a written by Bill Wallmarker, by IB, and another object for Python that never lets people react. Do you want to use these technologies? Any comments or thoughts about it again? I don't think it's going to be, but we can talk about it as well. There's a ton of documentation on OSA scripting analysis. It's all available at the Mac OS X developer website. You can go to the developer.apple.com website, run by the good folks at the Apple World Connection, who helped sponsor this conference. You can plug in the documentation, Mac OS X. AppleStream is usually listed under core technologies. That's the keyword you have to look for in order to find it. And that covers the language, the studio, Apple event technology, which can be accessible to other applications, not just scripting languages. So you can access it programmatically in Carbon or Cocoa. Different functionality, including the XMLRPC itself on Mac OS X, or let's say scripting. Also, if you're running an application, we also strongly encourage you to create support, which is very easy for Cocoa. It'll be a lot easier for Carbon with the new version of Jaguar coming out, to make sure that you create a dictionary for your application, so other people can automate your application in the opposite direction as well. Now, the two big documents I would suggest you check out first is the Outfront Studio Building Applications With document, which covers basics and tutorials, similar to the one I showed you here. And then also looking at the terminology reference, trying to figure out what actions you can invoke in applications. Outfront provides a very good basic set of commands, which is supported for free in Cocoa applications and fairly trivially pretty any carbon, almost any carbon application. And then you can add your own custom terminology for some application-specific behavior. And those are all rapidly maturing. Three websites, or two websites and a file to check out. The apple.com applescript/macOS 10 is where you can find the latest information about AppleScript and macOS 10. There's a wonderful mailing list for AppleScript Studio. If you're serious about this, a lot of engineers hang out there, a good chance to find out exactly what's going on, get help with specific problems from the community. And then there's examples that ship as part of the developer example suite, including the Jaguar local version of the converter application with self-support that you just saw. So I have about 2 minutes left, but that's the presentation. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Rich.
The limitation that I see in AppleScript Studio is something that it inherits from Interface Builder, is that it's, as far as I can tell, it's designed to build one static application. If you wanted to have an application which could on the fly generate its own windows from, say, an XML backend or something like that, well, you would want to manually create all these different windows. You want your program to be able to do that. So I guess my question is, if you want to write programs that are generating windows, formatting them, laying them out on the fly, is that something AppleScript would take and do?
Well, at that point, you're probably wanting to use Cocoa directly. I mean, you can do procedural function calls and create windows dynamically if you want. You can also dynamically write them in and load that to runtime as well. The new format is enhanced to use Cocoa archiving, heat archiving with Jaguar. You could just write out your own NIP file and load that down to runtime if you want to.
Do the web objects support proxy?
That's getting way beyond scripting, so we should probably talk about that later. Yes?
Is your project available online?
No, I'm afraid it isn't. Well, I'll talk to you about it and see if that's possible. Since it's a lot of forward looking, probably will be able to put that into our project projects. So if you go to the Apple website, the local website at Apple has a Google powered search, which is a Google. Any other questions? Okay, thank you all very much. Come by at 4:30 for the macOS 10 presentation.
Excuse me, thanks.
The options we have to get anything.
Well, Mike is getting set up while we get things started. Mike Dubenko has been working on X-Forms. I believe one of these X-Forms really been in the works.
Plus 9 months.
Plus 9 months. You're there before them.